1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Hey, I'm here. All right, we have Josh Planos who will be along in just a bit. We're going to talk about a huge NBA game last night, a big NFL day coming up on Saturday, plus that Monday night game, and a huge Christmas day for the NBA. That's turned out to be probably one of the most fun days for an NBA fan because you usually have the top games. I mean, they have to make the schedule out ahead of time, so it's games they predict will be the top games. And this season, they're really spot on most of these. There are a couple that they couldn't have foreseen. You know, the Golden State, the New Orleans injuries, couldn't have really foreseen those. But Clippers, Lakers, I mean, man, there's some really awesome games. And we're going to talk about that. Plus, are there too many bowl games? I'm going to get Josh Planos' take on that in just a bit. Before we talk with Josh, however, let's get you caught up on some things. Murray High girls in action last night at the Lady Redhound Christmas Bash in Corbin. And they are kind of falling on tough times. Although close games, they lost to Knox Central 55-52. They get another game in the tournament today, a third game tomorrow. Callaway County girls at home tonight. They'll take on Christian County. That game will be on WAVJ. The Lady Lakers will then be on the road tomorrow night at Breckenridge County in a game that airs at 6 on 104.5 WBZB. A couple of girls' games last night. It was a district game between Graves County and Ballard, and it was ugly. Graves County won 67-24. Marshall County knocked down Russellville 57-11. Now, the Murray High boys will play the first of three games in the Butler County Christmas Tournament when they face McLean County tonight at 7. We will not have coverage of that game due to other obligations, but we will bring you tomorrow's game with Todd Central at 9:30 in the morning, followed by the 12:30 game with Owensboro Catholic. Now, due to other obligations, those games will air on 104.5 WBZB. So Murray fans who usually tune in to NBS, you go to WBZB for your games tomorrow. Callaway County boys, they're playing University Heights tonight at 6 in the first of three games in the Paducah-Tillman Christmas Tournament. No coverage of that one. The Lakers also play Tillman tomorrow at noon and Caro tomorrow at 4:30. Those games will air on WAVJ. In boys games last night, Graves County an easy 65-35 win over Ballard Memorial. McCracken County 60, LaRue County 49 at the King of the Bluegrass. Jackson Civils knocked down 6 3-pointers in that one. Roman Catholic, how good are they gonna? If you can beat Marshall County 79-26, you got to be good. And Roman Catholic out of Pennsylvania did that, 79-26. Caldwell County over Dawson Springs, 75-50. Murray State women's basketball team, they close out their pre-Christmas schedule. They'll host Samford tonight at 6, the CFSB Center. The 6-3 Racers had their five-game winning streak snapped at Southern Illinois Sunday, despite a 31-point performance by reigning OVC Player of the Week, Macy Turley. Murray State, they're unbeaten in three home games this season. They go in with an 8-game home winning streak. The Bulldogs come to Murray 3-9. That's on the air this evening at 5:30 on 104.5 WBZB. The Racer men's basketball team will depart for Evansville today as they get set to battle the Purple Aces tomorrow night at 6 at the Ford Center. The Racers come in red hot. They're 6-4, but back-to-back wins over Middle Tennessee beat them by 33. Kennesaw State beat them by 36. Evansville comes into Saturday's game with a record of 8-4. And among those eight wins, that 67-64 stunner over then number one ranked Kentucky on November 12th at Rupp Arena. Now, they were on a five-game winning streak, riding high, go to Jacksonville State Monday night, and were stunned by the Gamecocks, 85-59. They were out-rebounded 39-26, had just 5 of 24 from three-point range, had 17 turnovers. But they're a lot better team than they showed in that one. Airtime for Saturday's game, 5:30 on Froggy 103.7. One OVC team in action last night. Marshall beat Eastern Kentucky 90-72. It was number 12 Auburn knocking down North Carolina State 79-73. Number 4 Duke beat Wofford 86-57. Seton Hall upset Maryland 52-48. I watched much of this game last night because I couldn't really believe that 6th-ranked Louisville would travel to UT Martin, but they did. And the Martin women almost won. They took them to double overtime, led most of the game, but Louisville able to hang on and win 71-63. The Austin Peay women over Binghamton, 80-63. Morehead State crushed Asbury College, 107-55. And then the battles of directional Illinois. Northern Illinois beat Eastern Illinois 61-48, and Southern Illinois downing Western Illinois 79-65. College bowl season begins today on WNBS. We'll bring you two games, the Bahamas Bowl between Charlotte and Buffalo at 1, the Frisco Bowl this evening between Utah State and Kent State. That gets underway at 6, and then Saturday night at 6:30, it's the Las Vegas Bowl between Boise State and Washington State. Memphis Grizzlies in Cleveland tonight to take on the Cavaliers, and then they're back home tomorrow to host the Kings. Tennessee Titans are in action on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints in Nashville. That will lead our NFL doubleheader Sunday on WNBS. 11:30 begins the pregame coverage. The second game, although it may not be two great teams, it's a big game as Dallas plays at Philadelphia. We'll have that one at 3:25. As promised, we are joined by Josh Planos, who writes, among for other places, is a contributor for 538.com and many, many others. Before we talk about what we usually talk about with the NFL and the NBA, today we have our first of two bowl games on the radio. We have the Bahamas Bowl and the Frisco Bowl, and I know fans, they're trying to get their Christmas shopping done so they can come in and watch those. It's always the question every year, Josh, are there too many bowls? And I know there's a lot of them, but for the communities that host the bowls, for the teams that go, these are important games, even though they may not be for most of us. What's your take on all the bowl games?
Absolutely. You know, I think I wouldn't say, you know, more is better, but I would say that the impact that these bowl games have extends far past just this season. You know, you get an additional number of practices, so you can, if you're in, you know, the process of rebuilding, which, you know, good for you if you're getting to a bowl game in the middle of a rebuilding process. You know, you are expediting that timeline for, you know, getting everybody on the same page. To say nothing of how much unity it builds when, you know, some of these kids have never been, you know, maybe even on a plane ride or you know, traveled internationally, as you mentioned with the Bahamas Bowl. You know, this is a really good opportunity for teams to connect and players to connect and even to reach alumni, you know, living in other parts of the country and the world. So I would push back on, you know, we just need to open the floodgates and then, you know, everybody gets a bowl game. But I do think it's an experience that is a lot more important than, you know, initial, you know, perceptions think of it as.
We have last night a tremendous NBA game that I know every NBA fan was just mouthwatering to get to this one. Milwaukee and the Lakers. Milwaukee a 111-104 win. Giannis Antetokounmpo 34-11. Anthony Davis 36 points. Triple double from LeBron James. Is it just basically a foregone conclusion? Is that going to be our NBA final?
You know, I don't think so. I think injuries always play a great deal in, you know, the story of each respective season. And, you know, obviously if, you know, LeBron gets hurt, which was the case last season, or Anthony Davis gets hurt, which has been the case in previous seasons, this Lakers team is decimated. Obviously, they're incredibly talented, and right now they're humming. And I'm not trying to impede, you know, their growth as a team, but injuries do play a significant role in every season. And you know, I don't necessarily think that there's a huge gulf between, say, you know, the Lakers and the Clippers right now. That's really good news for the Los Angeles market, but also that indicates that, you know, potentially the Clippers could jump, you know, the Lakers down the stretch. And who knows, Milwaukee has not really been tested in the playoffs before. I know that's kind of a trope that gets, you know, trotted out there as, you know, this could, you know, potentially hold this team back from accomplishing X. But, you know, it's true. Milwaukee, you know, I don't think has been to the conference finals in a number of years. So this would be new territory for them. But, If last night's any indication, Milwaukee is absolutely in a terrific position, especially if Giannis is going to shoot 5 for 8 from 3-point range as he did last night.
Fans who are getting televisions for Christmas, they look forward to NBA Christmas Day, and man, what a lineup they had. And I know, you know, looking ahead, they thought these would be great games. There's only a couple, you know, with Golden State injury plague. The Pelicans have had their injury issues, but what a lineup of Christmas Day games. And this is something I know a lot of pro teams, you don't want to be playing on Christmas Day. In the NBA, it's actually an honor. You want that Christmas Day game, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a sign that you're competitive and your fan base is rabid, and the nation wants to see you when they wake up, and you know they get past the opening of the presents. So this is a really good slate, as you mentioned, Neil. You know, there's a lot of up and coming teams. You know, you've got teams that probably, I guess, prior to the season starting, you would have thought would have been in a lot better shape.
Sure.
For instance, New Orleans, Golden State. But you also have teams that you've got the juggernaut matchups. I mean, that, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a Lakers and Clippers race in the Western Conference. And, you know, we get them head-to-head. We get Bucks and Sixers, which is pretty much a matchup of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. So you're really getting a lot, but especially of teams that seem in line for playoff runs this season. So this should be a really good slate this year.
As we head to the Christmas break, who is your surprise team, the team that is, in your mind, overachieved to this point?
I would say, that's a good question. I would say Brooklyn, just because they reworked a lot of their team. The roster is not entirely new, but you know, you get Kyrie Irving in there. He's going to need the ball, and really what kind of set them apart last season was how selflessly they played and how well they shared the ball. And they bring in Kevin Durant, but of course he's not going to be able to play this season. And right now, you know, they're two games above 500, clearly in line for a playoff spot. And really, the whole conversation surrounding Brooklyn is next season, you know, once they do get Durant back in the fold. But right now, I mean, they look pretty darn good in my estimation, given that they have not a ton of new pieces, but a piece that requires a lot of maintenance and a lot of work in terms of, you know, getting him on the same page with everybody else. So I like what Brooklyn has done this season. I think they've been awfully competitive in some really, good games thus far. I certainly didn't anticipate them being a playoff team, just given that they were introducing somebody who needed to have the basketball pretty much the entire time to be functional.
A few moments ago, we talked about the Christmas Day slate with the NBA. There's a really good Saturday slate of NFL games, all meaningful. The Texans and Bucks, the Bills-Patriots, the Rams and 49ers. But the Bills-Patriots, could we really see a Patriots team not win the AFC East? Is that going to happen?
I think they'll be fine, honestly. I know that I keep throwing cold water on Buffalo season seemingly each week. They're a phenomenal story. Not trying to diminish that. I just really feel like this is kind of overblown with New England. We've run into similar patterns in recent years. I know that, you know, you could argue that this is the least talented offensive team New England has had in the Belichick era, but I really do feel like they're going to be able to turn this around, if for no other reason than the defense is just that good. I'm a firm believer in this defense. I'm not ready to say that this is going to be the season that ends, you know, Tom Brady's career or really tarnishes his legacy. I think that if you give me the option to pick Belichick versus the field, I'm still on the side of picking Belichick. And maybe that's irrational on my part, but I've just been burned so many times by this conversation in the past that I'm in a hedge on the side of New England.
Rams at 49ers, San Francisco, one of four NFC teams at 11-3, so it's a monster game for them if they want to stay in the hunt for that big record.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'd call it an elimination game, but it's pretty darn close. This is a really good 49ers team. Obviously, they've stumbled a bit as of late, but so did the Rams last week when they went to Dallas and got absolutely smoked after winning two consecutive. So this will be a good benchmark game for both teams. Obviously, San Francisco would need to implode down the stretch to miss out on the playoffs, but with the Rams have seemingly everything to lose in this one. I would expect their best effort this weekend.
And the Texans at the Bucs, the Texans got a big win at Tennessee. They get Tennessee again next week. Meanwhile, they got to beat the Bucs. Tennessee to stay in the hunt. They have to beat the Saints at home on Sunday. So a really intriguing weekend in that division as well.
Absolutely. You know, the Texans are so hit or miss. You know, I guess you could say the same about the Bucs this season. Just very surprising. I thought for sure that they weren't going to be able to pull out that win at Tennessee. Tennessee's been playing so well, which, you know, is just, in my opinion, probably the story of the year thus far in the NFL is how darn good the Titans have been. But yeah, I mean, going to Tampa Bay is never easy. You really never know what you're going to get with Jameis Winston. It seems like you know, he's a fantasy football god and also able to produce a turnover at any given point. So, you know, I don't know if there's a more exciting player in that regard in the league, frankly. So, but Tampa Bay has obviously been darn good. They're coming in off four wins, and I'm sure they're looking to make it, you know, five. I think the Texans are a really tough out, though, and as they demonstrated this weekend, even if they get down, they're going to still have you know, a punch and a puncher's chance.
And before we get to Christmas Eve, what a Monday night game. The Packers and Vikings. I mean, I grew up black and blue division, and that's exactly what you have. This ought to be a bruising game, Packers and the Vikings Monday night.
Yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like maybe the running game will be a little depleted for Minnesota with Dalvin Cook probably you know, unable to go, according to recent reports. But this should be a really great game. We kind of have like an overarching conversation about Kirk Cousins' career. I'm talking about the national media in general, seemingly every single week. But I think he's been really, really good in Minnesota this season, and you know, deserving of a great deal of credit. But this will obviously go a long way in deciding the division. You know, if Minnesota gets the win, they obviously jump Green Bay into the driver's seat with the tie break as well. So this is a really good opportunity for Minnesota. It's kind of amazing that the record isn't better than it is, frankly, given they've got 119 plus point differential, and that is like nearly, I think, like 80 points higher than Green Bay's, and yet they currently sitting with an additional loss. So it's just, it's kind of remarkable that they haven't been able to string together you know, wins as easily as some of the other teams that are kind of, you know, riding nail biters you know, to the clock at zero.
Josh, before I let you go, can you make anything of the number one team in college basketball? It's like we're drawing them out of a hat week to week. Kansas, Gonzaga, Louisville, Duke, Ohio State, Kentucky. Is there a clear-cut number one or number two that you see, top one or two teams?
You know, I just know if I was a coach, I would rather my team, you know, slide up right around second or third at the moment, just given you know, the recent track record of number one teams. I really like Gonzaga. I know that everybody's going to point to, you know, they never get it done in March, or they never, you know, win a national title, and that seems like an obscene benchmark. But I really like the way they share the ball. I think they've got a lot of really talented perimeter shooters. I think seemingly every season they reload, but right now it just seems like they're clicking on all cylinders. So at the moment, I would pick Gonzaga. I'm sure that will change, especially if they get up to number one. I would expect them to immediately lose. But right now, it seems like it's a really fun college basketball season. You know, I remember at this time last year, we basically had penciled Duke in as the national champion, and look how that turned out. So this seems like there are a lot of teams that could do it, and that makes for the most fun version of sport, in my opinion.
Josh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday week next week, and we'll chat with you in a couple of weeks about hopefully the college football playoffs, all right?
All right. Happy holidays, Neil.
That is Josh Planos. Check out his great work at 538.com. He is a contributor there along with many other sites.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.